So, morning, guys. It's really a privilege this morning just to be sharing with you. And so just quickly, I'll maybe introduce myself for some of you guys that don't know me. So my name is Luan. I'm part of the eldership team that has the privilege of leading this beautiful family, this congregation. Married to one wife, Almarie, exactly the same as Andre. Same wife, same lady. We have five daughters, one son-in-law, and for time being, we have a little boy with us that we are fostering. I can go a bit further. There's two dogs, three cats. We used to have nine rabbits in Kimberley, some guinea pigs, all of that. But yeah, we had to sacrifice that in the move to Cape Town. So yeah, they're still alive, just so that you know. But the dogs and the cats made it to Cape Town, so they're having a ball on this side. Okay. Yeah, so this morning I was really encouraged. Just I came and I sat here in front as we, as Brian was leading the prayer meeting, and then Kellen, most probably I'll tap onto you again as we get to land. She spontaneously started singing the song of "Come Holy Spirit," and this morning the reason I got encouraged was I've been burning with something in my heart for the last couple of months. I sent Kevin a message and. Was one worship morning that I was sitting there at the back, and I felt the Lord just say something to me that my people have become awkward with me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I felt the Lord say, like, we don't always give Him the recognition, we don't understand Him, we don't know how to walk with Him, how to co-labor with Him, how to enjoy Him. And it's almost like I had this picture of, you know, you can have two people having a coffee with a celebrity, and one guy would walk away absolutely filled, you know, to the brim with joy and enthusiasm because he knew how to interact with this celebrity, and then the other person might walk away not having the same experience. And I felt the Lord encourage my heart to tell you guys that He wants us to be that other person. Like, every time we come into contact with the Holy Spirit, there should be something in us that we walk away with the life, the enthusiasm, just the desires that He carries in His heart for us and for His people. And so this morning, I want to share on the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's going to be a bit different. That's why Andre said we're changing it up. Because last Sunday, as Arad was sharing beautifully, I was sitting there in front. And then some of you older folk might know the song Footloose. I just felt the Holy Spirit just brought the lyrics up in me and He said, it's time to cut loose, foot loose, kick off your Sunday shoes. And so this morning as we get into it and we're going to get into the worship, I really feel the Lord is wanting us to open up our hearts, to be used by Him, to see Him afresh. Even this morning I came to Honor and said, I just quickly want to go to the toilet and then come back. But just there I felt the Lord say, man, there's people that needs to see my face afresh this morning. So I'm really trusting for that. And interestingly, I love just leaning into the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to guide me into certain areas of preparation. And I felt the Lord say to me, just go and find out globally how much time people are spending on teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting, the statistics. So when you look at the amount of time spent on the person of the Holy Spirit globally within the church, and this pertains to what He can do for you. This would be topics like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what He produces in you, the gifting of the Holy Spirit, so the benefits that He produces in our lives. And then also, historically, looking back to the day of Pentecost and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So if you take that grouping of preaching, it's about 15 to 25% globally that the church is preaching on the area of the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But then if you take it a bit deeper, and I love it because I think Paul dwelt a lot more in this grouping of the Holy Spirit. And we look at him being a person that Jesus would advocate to us, the person that he would sell to us, the person that he would say, this is the one that's going to be to your benefit, to your advantage, you know. And this is the one, not just that, but he wants to be in an intimate relationship with you, and he wants to walk with you 24/7. If you look at that grouping of preaching where it's presenting him as a person with emotions that wants relationship with the believers and he wants to be involved in the church, it's only 2 to 8% of preaching worldwide that touches that area. And this is concerning in a way, because we might fall into that trap of the Galatians where Paul says to them, but you started this thing in the Spirit. But are you now trying to perfect your way, you know, by your own works? And we might fall into that because we don't follow the Lord through systems. We follow Him through relationship. And this is why this is quite a concerning stat. So why do we need to take note of this? And why is it important to put the Holy Spirit in His rightful place in our lives, in our meetings, and our gatherings? There might be many perspectives, but I just want to touch on two, which I feel is very important. So in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 17, I'm not sure what is working, what not, and I might be using different translations to what they have at the back there. But most of you guys know that scriptures where it talks about when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It speaks about the freedom, you know, that we have in the Lord. I want to read it in a different translation. It says, but the moment one turns to the Lord, and this is the thing that I want to stir in your hearts this morning, is we're going to go into a place of ministry, into a place of worship, trusting the Lord to show Himself. Paul writes in this translation, he says, when one turns to the Lord with an open heart, and that's the thing I want to provoke in you this morning, open up your heart for something fresh. Open up your heart this morning for the Lord to show Himself again. Okay. He says, the veil is lifted and they see. And I'll get to it just now, but it's a beautiful thing of, and goes on and says, now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever He is the Lord, there is freedom. So why is this important for us to put Him in His rightful place? Because without our relationship and a rightful relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, we will never walk in the freedom that Christ purchased for us. That is part of why we need to do, and we need to enjoy this relationship that Paul is encouraging us to have with Him. In James 2, just a different context, a different lens, it speaks about, you know, just as the human body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. And that thing of works of obedience, it gives you a bit of a hint, you know. If CJ was to come to me and was to ask me something, let's say to move this platform into the corner, the thing is, that happened out of relationship. It wasn't just something that was downloaded on me. There was personal interaction. There was intimacy. There was relationship. And from that, out of my reverence for Him, my respect for Him, my love for Him, I take and I do what He asks me to do. And this is what James is alluding to, where he says, you can have a beautiful body, but if there's no relationship and there's obedience and there's love and respect for that person, whatever that body represents actually is dead. We need that to find life in Christ, okay? And so when we look at Scripture, I'm just going to tag on some perspectives on the person of the Holy Spirit. It speaks into the area of that He's the very breath of life, or the breath of God, okay? And some examples that you guys might know, but, you know, when God created Adam, I mean, he was perfect in God's design, but he was still a corpse. It was only when God breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life, he became a living being. And exactly the same, you know, that example in Ezekiel 37, where we read about, you know, Ezekiel being taken by the Holy Spirit, put into the valley of the dry bones. And by the counsel of God, by the words of God, it says that he was caused to speak. And as he was speaking, bone came to bone, sinew to sinew. You know, there was flesh that covered the bones and skin and all of that. But it was only when he spoke and he asked the wind to come from the four corners of the earth that that body came to life. And that's the thing, that these are prophetic pictures for us, you know, in our walk with the Lord, to understand that, you know, when we came to the Lord, he said that you became a new design, a new creature. So God designed you into something from your mess, your nothingness, your sinful background. He designed you into something that he desired. Like Adam, or like these dry bones that became a living being, you know. But it was only when there was the breath of life combined with the design that it stood up into the fullness and the purpose that God had for it. And that's exactly the same with us. I can be born again, and Paul would go on to say in Acts 19, he's looking at believers in Ephesus. They were designed, they are new creations in Christ. But he asked them this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And then they said, no, we only received the baptism of John. And he said, but then You are designed, but you need to become a living being in Christ. Okay. So that is what the Lord's desire is for us. So the point that I want to make is wherever he is, dead things become alive. Our marriages will not change without the person of the Holy Spirit. If there's areas in your marriage that's dead, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to breathe on it. It's going to bring life. If there's areas in your walk with the Lord that you feel like it's becoming, lifeless, it's the Holy Spirit that needs to breathe into those areas and become Lord of those areas again for us to find life in those areas. Okay, in friendships. I can tell you so many stories, but, when I came to the Lord, I remember the moment I gave my heart to the Lord, but there was no infilling. But I felt that freshness. It's almost like, how many of you had the privilege of buying a new car or a new bike or whatever it might be, and you have that new car smell, that you get to enjoy for a while. But it's almost like when you come to the Lord and he touches you, something of that happens in you. It's like even you see afresh. Grass used to be green, but now it's greener. It's like high definition on next level, like steroids of heaven, that all of a sudden everything becomes more clearer. And it's that feeling. And although I had that feeling, there was still something lacking. And I remember the next day, the guy that was leading us, or he was, in a sense, organizing the group that was going to the Mighty Men Conference. That's why I got saved. He said to me, where were you last night? I prayed for the guys for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't see you. I said, I was just too tired. Went to bed. He said, can I pray for you? And I remember as he prayed for me, although I had that experience the previous night where everything felt fresh, it felt greener, it felt more lively, something in that moment came to life. And it never dulled. It never went away. But it felt like, I shared this in Azerfontein as well, it felt like an atomic bomb that went off on my inside. And all of a sudden, it was like there was a different person in me, allowing me to see what he sees, feel what he feels, and just experience what he's experiencing. I can't explain it to you guys. I would walk in the mall and I would get emotional just looking at someone. It's like, Lord, why am I feeling? And then the Lord would show me the brokenness, what I need to pray for, what I need to minister into. But it's that life of the Holy Spirit that he wants to put in every single believer. Okay. When Jesus looked at the person of the Holy Spirit, and this is something we need to take note of, according to the Gospel of John, the very last chapters before he went into one of the purposes that he came to lay down his life for our sin and to buy us, from the damnation of hell and all of that, and to buy us, to wash us, in a sense, from our sins. But when he came and he was on his way there, the last three chapters that he's speaking to his disciples, and this is something to take note of, the main focus in those last three chapters is the person of the Holy Spirit. He could have decided to talk to them about anything else. But it's the way that he taught about the Holy Spirit was in an honoring way, an uplifting way, a necessary way. It's almost like he was pointing to the disciples and saying to them, I want you to see the value, the importance, and the influence of him and how much you need him. Okay. And he would make statements like, if I go, I will ask the Father to send you another helper. Okay. So just think about it, man. When we feel down, he's the one that helps. He lifts us up again. When we need encouragement, he's the one that encourages. He's the helper. He would say things like, he will dwell with you and he will be with you always. Even now, as you're sitting here, you have access to the person of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow morning as you wake up and you open up your eyes, how many of you have tried this? Where you wake up in the morning and the first thing you say is, good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you doing this morning? What's on your heart? What is it that you want to do today? I remember sitting in the Wimpy one day in Bloemfontein. And I was there. We had a marriage that I needed to do, or ceremony later that day. And I was just going for lunch before time. And I was sitting there and thinking to myself, man, I'm so fleshly in this moment. Just feeding my body, going through the motions. And yeah, I'm excited for the marriage that's about to happen. But in this moment, I'm not considering the person of the Holy Spirit and what he's busy with. And I turned to him and I said, Holy Spirit, what are you busy with right now? And in a moment, I can't explain it to you guys. It was like I physically saw the person of Jesus sitting next to me, opposite me, on the table of the table, and he had these burning eyes. And I just followed his eyes. He didn't say a word to me, but I followed his eyes. And as he was looking, he was with his eyes pointing to someone. I could follow his eyes to where he was looking. And I realized the Lord wanted to do something. I left my table. I went to the person. I said, listen, you don't know me. I'm a born-again Christian, and I just love obeying the Lord. But I feel like the Lord is putting his attention on you this morning. Would you mind me praying for you? And as I started praying, the Lord showed me this person had pain in their neck and pain in their arm, and I prayed into it, and immediately the Lord healed them from that. And that's the thing, he's always on the move. He's actively seeking to expand his kingdom and to touch hearts and change life and to love on people. He's always looking for the opportunity. And this is the one that Jesus said, he will be with you 24/7, always. He will teach you in all things. He will remind you of things that I've said. He will testify about me. He will convict the world. He will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, and he will clear what is mine to you. These are some of the things that Jesus spoke about him in the last couple of chapters. Okay. And then Jesus makes a very outrageous statement. Just think about being in the disciples', shoes, standing, and they're looking at the Messiah face to face. And then he says this. He says, but nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And he says, because if I go away, I will send you the helper. I will send him to you. And this is Jesus looking at his bride, looking at the believer, looking at his disciples. Some of them that would go on to become pillars in the faith, like apostolic graces and all that. And he said, you know what? It's better that he be part of your journey than me being part of your journey. And this is what Jesus was elevating in the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, into our lives. And this is why I started with that statement and that statistic. That it's actually shocking to see the attention the church is giving to the person of the Holy Spirit in comparison to what Jesus taught about him. And then the Holy Spirit, it's just something, another lens I want to put in there. He's not a something, he's a someone. I've heard it over the years, like we treat him in a sense like he's a force, he's an influence, or he's some kind of power that just comes and he disappears again. Okay? But when the Bible speaks about him, he never portrays him in that light. The Bible would use language like, he would speak to you. He would teach you. He would remind you. He would comfort you. He would guide you. He would even intercede with you. I mean, a beautiful thing that Paul touches on in Romans 8, he says that the Spirit of God will testify with you, your spirit, that you are children of God. So he testifies with us. The Bible says he can be grieved. He can be resisted. And the Bible says that he loves. So all of those attributes, as you read it, it's not a force, it's not an influence, it's not a power. It's speaking about a person that has emotions, that has feelings, that has desires, purposes. Okay. And then just some things that I thought about over the week. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays for church. He says that you might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. So that you would be able to know him. And in Ephesians 3, he says, I pray that the Lord will strengthen you in your spirit, man, by the Holy Spirit, so that you will have an understanding of the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God that surpasses all understanding. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, his wisdom is far beyond us. Yes. And then in Philippians 3, Paul would say things like, that by the Spirit, God will transform me daily to look more like Jesus. So these are three things that Paul is highlighting in his own life, and he wants to, almost in a sense, pass it on to the other believers and saying, without the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to know Jesus properly. You'll never be able to experience the love of God fully. And then he says, you'll never be able to walk into the place where God transforms you to look more like him. Okay, and this is what Paul is saying from his own life. So statements that I want to make, just two, is he's not God's power. And we need to get this. He's not simply God's power. But this morning as he shows up, this is the thing. He possesses the very power of God. He's not less. He's not lacking. He's exactly the same. He's not merely God's presence. But when he shows up, he is God being present in your life. Okay. Then one of the things that most probably that I so love about the Holy Spirit and his workings is it's never about him. It's never about him. He always points us to Jesus. He always points us to the love of the Father. He always points away from him. And if I can use an example or picture this morning about him, it would be like, we don't have stage lights that's working this morning, but it would be like stage lights. You don't go to a production and you look at the lights for the next 2 hours. You look at the production happening on the stage. And that's almost like what the Holy Spirit does. Whenever he is on display, whenever he's involved, whenever he's with us, working alongside with us, something happens. We become more aware of the person of Jesus. We fall more in love with him. It's never about us, our experiences, but we become captivated by the person of Christ. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. For us as believers, it helps us, as I said previously now, to not only receive the love, but become aware of the one that is love. Okay, in our own lives and us as a community. Then another aspect of the Holy Spirit or perspective is you can see him as heaven's closest friend. Because one of the words that Jesus would use for him, or the Bible would use for him, or scripture would use for him, is he's the helper. He's called the Parakletos. And there's no English word that can describe actually what this word means. But there's a grouping of words that we can learn from, maybe the character, the likeness of his personhood. Okay. And the groupings would be the following. That he's the one that would come to comfort. He's the one that would be the advocate. He is the counselor. He is the helper. He is the one that strengthens. He is our companion. He encourages us. And he is the one that always comes alongside. Okay. So maybe this morning, imagine someone that never leaves you, never forsakes you. Imagine someone that never misunderstands you. Imagine someone that never grows tired of you. Someone that never withdraws his love from you. And someone that knows the very thought before you even think it. And yet, he is fully committed to you, never leaves you, and he wants you to look more like the person of Christ. And that is the Holy Spirit. I truly believe he is God's satisfactory plan and complementary expression to the believer and to the church. And the reason being is, just maybe if you can bear with me and see a prophetic picture from this. But in Genesis 2, verse 18, we read about after Adam being created. And Adam, in a way, is, Bible says, he was made in the image and the likeness of God. And is functioning in a way where he's actually, through his functioning and through his performing, he's actually expressing something of God on the earth. The influence, the reign of the Lord, he's expressing that. But God looks at his expression and he says, it's not good standing on its own. He needs a helper. He needs, in this translation, it says, the helper that would be complementary unto him. He needs that in order to be able to show forth the full picture of who I am. So if you look at this, Adam was created, and in a sense, I said this earlier as well, you know, when you come to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5 says, you are a new creation in Christ. But sometimes standing on our own, we're like Adam. We're trying to express the Lord and our ways and our works and our obedience. But it's like the Lord is saying, without the helper, you'll never be able to express me fully. And that's for the believer as well as for the church. Okay. And that's just a prophetic picture. Da-da. And what would be the function or the role if we look at the person of the Holy Spirit? Maybe another picture to help you guys. Imagine a morning like this morning, although the sun isn't shining. Let's imagine it is. But you wake up one cold winter morning and you go and stand in your house behind an open window and you look at the sunrise. Okay. And although it's cold, something is happening. You see the radiance of the sun. And I'll get to the other part just now. Although we see the radiance of the sun, how many of you know there's a lot of chemical heat and life and stuff happening in the background? Okay. There's like a source of heat there. And that would be like the functioning of the Father. We don't always see Him face to face, but yet Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen Him. And Jesus would be like the radiance. He would be like the sun rising up and scorching into your eyes. You can see Him. And because you can see Him, you can also imagine what's behind Him and what He's like. Okay? But then the Holy Spirit would be the one where the heat actually touches your skin. And that is the function of the Holy Spirit. Although there's a Father that's the very source of the heat, Jesus, that's the very radiance of that source, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the personal experience and gives us a personal experience of all that the Father is achieving and has achieved through the person of His Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. Okay. So that is what the Holy Spirit is to us. He is the one that makes it all personal and allows us to experience the forgiveness, the saving power, the salvation of the Lord, you know, the sanctification of the Lord, the breaking of strongholds, whatever might be holding you back, maybe patterns, addictions. He is the one. As Jesus said, He paid the price for all our iniquities. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it an experience. He's the one that brings it into life. Okay. And then something I maybe just want to highlight really to our hearts this morning is, I really believe, as I started this morning, you heard about the percentage where it speaks on the gifting of the Holy Spirit and what it can do for us. And I remember last year when we went to Mozambique, I said to the guys, what's happening? And they said, no, we have a week conference. Okay, what's happening in the week? No, they want us to come and teach on the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, man, not to be funny, but that's so settling for second best. It's amazing what He can do, but it's amazing living with Him. And that's, in any case, trusted the Lord for a different outcome, and the Lord was faithful, and He gave us the outcome that we were trusting for. But this is something that I really feel like Paul was also highlighting to us, and this is why I would say Paul would most probably be in that category of the 2 to 8%. That would be his preaching, you know. Even coming to Corinthians, he says, don't want to come to you in elegance of speech. Don't want to be the one that comes to you with knowledge of my degrees and my ability, but I want to come to you in a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And the thing is, this is full of Paul's heart for the church. And he ends 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians 13, he ends his letter off to the church with something, with an encouragement. He says that the grace of the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And I want you guys to see that. He's not saying with the leaders of the church, the deacons of the church, or the core group of the church. He says that all of the church, every single believer, will enjoy fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting that it starts with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Because I believe you can truly only grow in those two experiences through your fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Paul would say this in 1 Timothy 1 about himself. He would say that the grace and the love of Christ is being poured out of my life to save me through what? Through fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Paul is growing in grace and love. Okay. So I want to end with a statement, and I hope you guys get the heart of what I'm saying. I believe the believer, the church, will never walk in the purposes that God has for us without us allowing the Holy Spirit to influence us, change us, and us walking with Him in obedience. Because Paul would go on to say in Romans, he would say, those who walk in step with the Spirit are called the sons of God. There's something about the identity of Christ that gets into our life as we walk in the lordship and the fellowship of the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is my last thought that I want to leave with you this morning. Why is this such an important topic? Maybe Kellen, you can come up so long. Why is this such an important topic? And I think sometimes we miss this. You know, Jesus, I read the scripture to you guys in John 16, verse 7, where it says, it's to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, I can't send him to you. But if I go, I will send the helper unto you. But I want you to maybe just pause on that portion of scripture just for a moment. Why is this so important, speaking about the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit? Because that's exactly what he is. He's a gift. Acts would remind us in saying, you know, if we would come to the Lord, there's a gift that God has for you. And the thing is, pointing back to that scripture, because that gift cost Jesus his life. I believe that is why it's important for us to take note of the gift, to long for the gift, to desire the gift, because it cost Jesus his everything for us to experience this gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I can tell you guys so many stories. I'll maybe tell you something that happened recently. Kobus and Anzal and some of the guys went with. We were in Eiserfontein. And Henry asked me to come and share on that side. I asked, like, what are you guys building into? And he said, no, we're building into the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, cool. I'll prep into that area. But the thing is, I know, even after that, myself, Barry, and Erard got together and we spoke about, like, even how could this morning look like this morning? And I said to them, there's always a bend in me. I don't know why, but there is a bend. And I enjoy my bend. Because my bend always draws me into the person of the Holy Spirit. I love preparing. I love the Word. I love all of that. I'll never, although the Holy Spirit's asked me in Mozambique, he's asked me like, will you pitch up with absolutely nothing? And it was the most frightening experience of my life. I had a preach, and on Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit said to me, you are not preaching what I gave you. And I remember that till 2 o'clock that morning, I was wrestling with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I can't sleep. My heart is palpitating. this is very, very uncomfortable, yeah? But it's only me and him knowing this. So most probably all the other people were thinking, oh, Luan has a preach for tomorrow. But in that moment, I felt like the Lord was testing something in me. Would your reputation become more important than simply having me? And I realized nothing in my life can become more important than him. Nothing. I said, Lord, I'm laying it down. He said to me, go and sleep. Just go and sleep. I'll sort out tomorrow. Just trust me. I woke that day, that whole day, we didn't even come back to our hotel room. We were on the road all day connecting with people. We, from our last connect, we went straight away into the meeting. So I didn't even have a Bible. I didn't have a laptop. I had nothing. And we got into worship and the guys looked at me and they're like, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'll fake it and I'll tell you I'm ready. But inside, sure, there's a lot of turmoil. I'm not sure how this is going to play out. And as I got up there and I took the mic, immediately that thing of the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and he will give it on to you, he will reveal it to you. Immediately as I took the mic, I felt the Holy Spirit brought into remembrance a dream I had that morning at 5 o'clock. And I couldn't remember the dream, but it was significant because the Lord, it was from him and the Holy Spirit was taking it and revealing it to me. And that's all I had and I started with that. I can't remember how the rest of the night went. But how it ended was my most amazing experience I've ever had. I was standing there in a moment I felt, is this what the people felt in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost? People were laughing, people were crying, people were being touched by the Holy Spirit, people were healed, people were delivered. We were on the third story of a building block, and the windows was open, and I looked down and people were looking up from the streets like, what is happening on top there? And I thought to myself, this is it. This is it, when the people said, are these people drunk? This is it. This is how it looks like. There's many stories. I can keep you guys for days. The thing is, this is not for me. This is not for the elders of the house. This is for every single one that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for us. This is to our advantage and our benefit in our relationship with the Lord.